Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 179. Today, this is George and I in the studio. Last week, you guys might have seen things got a little bit haywire, but it's we're getting back on that normal schedule. George has been revived from the dead. And yeah, we're going to give our recap on World Indoors and a couple of other things that we missed in the last few weeks. So should be a fun little episode. But first off, George, how are we feeling? Give the people a little update on how you're doing.
They were worried. It is a revival. The people back were worried. From the dead. Now, I apologize to everyone out there for letting everyone down last week. Couldn't make the pod. I really just left Morgan, and I actually came down briefly to the end of the pod to see how Tom and Morgan were holding it down. But I and also my voice was in no position to do a podcast.
Both important.
I'm hoping it's going to hold up today. I don't know. I feel like it doesn't sound 100%.
No, you sound really good. I'm thinking back to, do you remember that when, I can't remember when it was, when Ollie was last sick on the podcast and he had a couple of really big coughing fits?
Yeah.
And there are multiple times when we had to cut it out because he had to run to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, he was coughing so bad. He had to leave the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do feel a lot better, even if I'm not 100% yet. But no, it was a really shit week, actually. I wasn't, somehow I'm always like, what is it? Patient zero, where I'm giving it to everyone.
Yeah.
That didn't happen this time. I was just solo. I didn't know a single other person that was sick. No one else no one else on the team. So fortunately I was smart this time. I didn't get anyone else sick.
Did you feel it on the workout day, the sickness mm-hmm. coming on? Because I feel like that's your recipe.
Every time.
Every
I'll work out
time.
And then two or 3 hours after, I was like, oh, this is not good.
I wonder if that's pure coincidence or if there's a link there, like that brings it on a bit quicker. It expedites the process or something like that.
Yeah, there's definitely something to like have been sick before you have sent, like Jason's a big believer in that. And I actually hurt my back quite badly in the gym on Friday, like 48 hours before I got sick. And Jason's like a big believer that it messes with a bunch of, like it messes with your spine and like all the muscles. He's like, yeah, you gotta get Koki to like really get into the muscles along your back, like once you're healthy again.
Yeah.
Because it just like messes with your nervous system and everything. So I don't know if that was related or if I was just being dumb in the gym, but
well, yeah, it's good. I like getting, this is something that I don't know if is applicable to the regular people at home because it's hard to do, but I think getting treatment while you're sick, not literally while you're contagious, but as soon as you can, after you're not contagious anymore, is a big game changer in helping you recover more quickly.
Yeah. I got in for a nice, like I was sick last Sunday. Well, that was after the workout. And then like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was so dead. I tried to do like an evening spin on the bike one day just to, like I always like to try and do something to, so I'm not just actually just in bed all day, just like super low heart rate. And I made it like 15 minutes and I just laid on the ground for like half an hour. I was like, oh, all right, I need a couple more days. But maybe by Thursday, I was well enough to get a nice deep flush massage, which I don't often get. And yeah, after you're sick and like your muscles just feel so bad, that was very nice.
Did you flirt with the sauna at all during this sickness? Or was it not appropriate?
I didn't ask the experts, but I liked it because it was, everything was just in my head and my nose. So I would just go in there and I have to like literally take like a box of tissues because it just make my nose run like crazy.
Yeah.
But I think it's like a, it's like an artificial fever, which in theory, like a fever helps you like kill the virus. So
speeds it up.
It like heats you up from the inside. Yeah. I honestly don't know.
I think it only be
it felt good.
If you were like really sick, like if your body is really beaten down to the point where all your body, like your body can't even handle that extra stress, which you would have to be pretty sick for that. And also I think there's the experts out there, but the thing is when it comes to sickness, every single case is so unique as like we see every single time. You really don't know exactly what you can handle until you try it. So I feel like it's smart 100%. To try stuff, but just be really aware. Like if it doesn't feel right, don't do it.
It's definitely not a good idea to just go in and dehydrate yourself while you're sick. If you know, I'm just thinking that. But I think the sauna feels really good when you have at least just like, a, I don't know, head cold stuff, even if it's reasonably severe. But I feel like I handled it much better than I did in Oslo. Hopefully everyone is glad to know that. I didn't race the steeplechase in the Diamond League about 2 days later. Instead, I took 4 days off and hopefully I'll feel better for it. The week was a bit of a write-off in terms of training, but that's just how it goes sometimes. Obviously, already, yeah, I mean, training has been going all right actually, but obviously I'm a couple months behind, so losing another week is annoying. But annoying is pretty minor in the scheme of things, and I feel like get back on track this week, and keep the bronchitis away. Hopefully,
yeah. Is the plan to just try work? Should this look like a normal week, like in terms of workouts and stuff, or will you just see how you feel?
I think by Thursday, yeah. I think there's like a hill climb long run tomorrow,
spicy, which
I plan on taking pretty easy. So maybe, yeah, tomorrow easier than I would if I was feeling good, kind of regardless of how I feel, I think. But hopefully by Thursday, I feel like, fingers crossed, back to regularly scheduled programming.
Very nice. Very nice.
Now my throat's already getting kind of dry.
Well, you had a nice little monologue there, so I think you did very well. And yeah, hopefully things just keep progressing, and it does seem like you've done a really good job at being patient with it and allowing the body to recover, which isn't always easy.
I do need to figure out why I'm so susceptible to sickness at the moment, though. This is already the second time I've been sick this year.
Really?
Like since I've been back. Obviously, the first one, I would say, was just like a very minor cold for a couple of days, 2 or 3 days. This one, like, properly laid me out. But it was like less than 2 months ago, I swear. And obviously, last year, I was fucking sick half the year.
You just got to go you got to go hang out in like a daycare or something and just expose yourself.
Yeah, am I underexposed or am I overexposed? How do you...
I think, you know, they say that often it's the kids that grew up eating dirt and worms that have the really strong immune systems. And I think that's because they get exposed to a lot of things when they're younger. So maybe, because I get sick as well. Like I also get sick. And that's why I sometimes blame my parents. Sorry, parents, because I know they're listening. Say, you guys took too good care of me when I was young. I should have been out there eating a little bit more dirt. So in general, I think, yeah, you got to expose yourself at the right times. So make sure that like as soon as the off season hits, you go and get out there. And I guess you don't have to get sick, but if you get exposed to some sicknesses, you know, hopefully you can build up a little immune system that'll carry you through the year. But it is, yeah, what can you do, I guess?
I don't know. Someone tell me. I need to, someone weigh in on some advice here. I swear I never used to get sick.
I don't know. I got the double whammy flu COVID vaccine a few months ago.
Did you?
Yeah. And I haven't gone sick since that.
Huh. I didn't actually.
Got the double whammy. Yeah. I don't really know exactly how it works, but I assume it's a good thing to do to try and avoid sickness at inopportune times.
Maybe that is smart. When did you get it?
Probably December.
Before the winter.
Yeah. So, like kind of, I think you generally.
Does it cost money?
Nah, free.
It's actually free. Where do you get it from?
The grocery store, anywhere. Just
anyone say, will give it to you.
You show them your health insurance. You say, give it to me. Come on, give me the shots, and they do it.
Huh?
It's
did you feel bad
easy.
After?
No, I felt great. I think I have a theory. This is a minor theory, which is definitely not proven by the experts, but I have a theory that Cinta's immune system has rubbed off on me.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Dude,
because
Jenna is completely immune to everything I've ever had.
Okay, so maybe
and so is Cinta. I know Cinta is too.
but if Jenna's immune system hasn't rubbed off on you yet, maybe that does dispel my theory a little bit. But yeah, Cinta's ultra immune, and I don't know. I've just gotten really, like, it seemed, even because I had to get the yellow fever vaccination last year before I traveled in Africa. And that's one that had a reputation for making, after the vaccination, people feeling pretty sick. I felt completely fine. And I'm the typical person who would feel really bad after getting a vaccination such as that.
If it says possible symptoms, Morgan's getting
it. I'm normally getting destroyed. And yeah, I've been feeling good.
All right. Well, maybe next year I'm getting the flu shot.
Yeah.
I think it's too late at this point. Flu must be almost, like, I don't actually know if I had the flu. I don't know what it was, but
yeah.
I was not quite as sick as I was in Oslo last year.
Yeah.
But reasonably close.
Well, hopefully.
But I think flu season ends in like April, doesn't it? I feel like they stop seeing
I believe it. So. But on the bright side, hopefully these two sicknesses already this year have given your immune system.
I'm feeling ultra immune now.
You should be
surely
good to travel to across the world.
Bloody hell. I better be.
I don't know if it works like that, but I hope that is the case. Because yeah, hopefully it is worth something. And then you may look back at now at this time now and say, "Wow, I got sick at a good time."
Could have been worse.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Happy to hear it's going well though. So
enough about that.
Yeah. Moving
I'm on
to
the
mean. Onto World Indoors, Nanjing, China. And China, everyone's aware of it. It's a country. It's a big place. It's an interesting place. It's a very diverse place. And they've been trying to host this meet since 2020. This meet was meant to be in Nanjing. I think it is exactly Nanjing. I think it's in the exact same place. It was scheduled. It was the first big thing in the track world. Well, actually, NCAAs was. But it was the on the world scene, the first big thing that got canceled with COVID, I think, was this start of 2020. And they've been trying to have it back there for all these years. And finally, it came all the way around. And we got blessed with a lovely World Indoors. And from everything that I saw and heard from our folks on the ground, especially Cinta, it seemed amazing in terms of the organization and the experience for the athletes. I guess the only tough thing is the travel when you talk about going to a place like that. But did you see the pictures from, I think a few people posted from looking at the hotel, and it was looking onto, I think it was a kind of green space, and it had like a big running, like beautiful running track that went all around it.
I might have seen a couple from Jess.
Yeah.
Posting about how good the running was.
I think it was like amazing.
Huh. Was the crowds good? What do people say?
Well, I haven't asked that question, but on TV, every time Jakob did something, they went crazy.
Big Jakob fans out there.
They went crazy every time Jakob did something. So it was cool.
Who is the biggest Chinese athlete?
The biggest Chinese athlete is a great question. I think they have some good throwers. I think they have, I'm blanking right now. I know they've had some good sprinters in the past, but I don't think they have any. I'm not sure if they have any right now.
Because they're super into hosting stuff.
Well, they had athletes in a lot of events. I don't know how it works exactly.
Did they get freebies?
Maybe, because to
the guy
honest,
in the 1500 seemed like a little bit of a.
So they, but they did have, they had really good representation, which I think is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think looking just on the TV, like the crowd looked pretty into it. So it looked like a pretty successful event. I think World Indoors is cool. It seems pretty compact, pretty concise, 3 days of action.
It is nice that it's a nice 3 day program.
You have like cool stuff happening every single day. So it was
lots of finals.
It was great, honestly.
Yeah, there was definitely an absence of people maybe blaming Grand Slam or using Grand Slam as a reason not to go.
Partially more than Grand Slam, partially maybe Euros as well.
Definitely having Euro indoors. But I honestly think there were,
there's a lot of Europeans.
I honestly almost think there were more Europeans than top America. Let me just see how I feel about that thought. trying to decide if that's fair or not.
Yeah, well, it's just that there was a lot of good Europeans there, but I think Europe is just so deep right now because in some of the races, the depth between Euros and Worlds was not that different. And that's obviously a lot because Jakob is doing both of them and he's sat in that bar. But to be honest, Euros and, yeah, Worlds, there were multiple cases of people making the finals at Worlds that didn't make the finals at Euros. In, let's say, like the 1500, for example.
I just felt like I feel like the top Europeans were kind of there, aside from Josh.
There was some interesting ones that weren't, like, for example, I don't think Hubs went.
Hubs didn't after meddling. He had a double. He meddled in both, right? Yeah. The Euros. So
I don't know why Cam Myers wasn't there. I thought, like, after he had his great performance earlier, I thought it was leading towards World Indoors and I thought he was going to go win, be a massive medal threat there. So I'm sure he has a good reason that he didn't go, but I was just surprised by it.
Yeah. But like they say, you can't win a medal unless you are there. Exactly. So yeah, instead of talking about the absences, let's talk about the people that did go, that did freaking show up and travel halfway across the world. Mm-hmm. It would have been nice if it was in what it sounded like, a place you can fly to, one like in Shanghai.
Yeah, that extra flight is killer.
That extra like 2-hour domestic flight. Even if the flight's short, like just the extra logistics of that.
Yeah, probably almost everyone had 3 flights.
Yeah.
Most people probably had 3 flights, some 2, but mostly 3. So that is tough to.
Must be a track in Shanghai.
I believe so. Right? I don't know about it. Yeah, an indoor track, I don't know. Oh, well, Nanjing, they put it on. They deserve it. They probably put a bunch of money into it. And yeah, they did a good job. But which race do we want to recap first?
Chronologically?
Chronologically, 1500s heats.
1500 heats.
Yeah,
possibly.
Where do we start? It was really interesting. I guess we got exposed to this watching European indoors a little bit, but the way that they did the heats is different from when you were there a year ago, right? In terms of how small they were.
And it was the same for the women's. The women's rounds were the same as we had, but the men's was different.
Interesting.
Like they had a different qualifying system.
Yeah, I don't know why they must.
Which
have been
was
more
really
people.
Weird.
Was there more people in the men's one? I'm not sure.
Possibly. I don't know why you'd have a different Yeah, that could be the only reason I could think of.
Yeah, but anyway, unfortunately, I woke up that morning to tune in. It was early on a Friday, and yeah, our teammates did not have the best morning, and everyone kind of has like their own reasons. Little stuff they were dealing with. Obviously, Ollie, not here today, but he narrowly is very close to making it through to the final. But yeah, the it was pretty brutal. It was only top two were making it. And the two people that ended up making it through Ollie's heat, I think were both in the top 5 in the final in the end. So it can be really cutthroat like that sometimes. And yeah, that sucked to see Ollie miss out because obviously, yeah, his goal was to get in that final and then compete for a medal. So that was tough to see. But aside from that, yeah, Meyer and Sinta unfortunately didn't make it through either. Both just dealing with little things and they'll just be able to take care of them now and reset. But it was like, it was super competitive. When you only have 2 or 3 people making it through each heat, it's so competitive on the world level. And
That was the difference. It was the women were top 3, but there were only 3 heats. Last year we had a final of 12. So they had finals of 9 this year. So that was different actually.
Yeah,
so they were super cutthroat. Yeah, so even if you like looked at it and was like, oh, maybe this isn't the deepest heat, and then you're like, oh shit, but you have to get top 2. So
top 2 is brutal.
It did show how hard it is.
Yeah.
Like you gotta show up ready to go to get top 2 and really compete for that.
Yeah, so it was brutal. Jakob did classic Jakob stuff. Did you watch his heat?
Yeah.
I don't know how this keeps happening because it happens every single time. I actually thought, what is he doing? With 200 to go, he was like, you could see the gap and he was behind. He had to go around all these people and 200 meters on an indoor track. And then he does it and it looks so comfortable in the end. So he showed that he was fully in control.
Yeah. Interestingly, the people that looked really good in the heats, Jakob, Neil, Luke, spoilers, I guess, those, I honestly think they probably looked the best out of the heats, and they ended up looking best in the final two. Like, Neil looked really, really comfortable running 3:36 in his heat.
Yeah.
Jakob closing in freaking 25 in the heats. Just a little pre-meet for the 3K the next day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, I guess we can just move straight on to the final. It was, I mean, I think Jakob is really showing, when he races, what, like, indoor meets in particular at such a high competitive level, he does show his versatility a lot more.
He does, but do you think he is setting it up because he knows who's in the race? Like, I don't think he can do that if there are certain people, if Cole and Josh and Yara are in there. I don't think he can run that slow. I don't think he's winning a three, like, I can't believe they ran 3:38.
Mm.
Are we just gonna, are we talking about the final?
Yeah.
Like, that's slower than we ran last year. Like, winning a race in 3:38 is like a proper, like, you, I mean, and now he can kick, but I just don't know if he, like, can he do that against, or would he even, like, would he have done it differently?
See, the thing is, I almost think not, because I think still in that, like, the other guys are really strong. You know, those are the guys you listed. Those are the guys that have similar PBs to Jakob. Those are the guys that run similar times. But still, in that race, there's people that have kicks that are
I couldn't believe no one could get around him at the end.
Is it Nada? Isaac Nada?
Yeah, Isaac.
Like, he's got a crazy kick.
Mm-hmm.
He's got such a good kick. And did he end up coming fourth?
Again.
He
was fourth last year, too.
And so you would think, like, a slow race, oh, that should suit him more.
Right.
But it still goes back to the same old, and Jakob said this, I think, to Jonathan Gault in the post-race interview. He still is just the same consistent line of, it comes down to strength.
Like,
the
kick comes down
to strength. The kick comes down
to strength. They asked him, is he doing anything differently to work on his speed? And Jakob was like, basically, like, that's a dumb question. Like, no.
He says, we're not running that fast.
Yeah.
Which they are running fast, but relative to
sprinting, they're not running fast.
No. So, yeah. But to your point, I almost feel like this is the route that he has to go when you look at the big outdoor races. Because now there's been, what, three? Like,
all the races he's lost, he runs harder from the front earlier.
Exactly.
Like, when he lost the last indoor Worlds, he took it from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And then tied up at the end.
Mm-hmm. So,
and obviously the Worlds ones he's lost.
Let's hypothetically, I mean, every single runner is really different, but you put Yard in that race, you know, Yard might be the one pushing.
I was about to say, I think what makes it different is that Yard, I think, would already have gone to the front.
Yeah.
I think that's what would make the difference.
And that suits Jakob.
But I don't know if Cole would have, but I think Cole could have got around in the last 50. I mean, I think I could have.
Yeah.
Watch, like, run 3:38.
Mm-hmm.
I'd fight through last year, 3:36. I mean,
do you know what the closing was?
They went out a little slower, so they must have closed maybe a little, like, I'm like 200, 400. I honestly don't.
Mm.
Oh, no, it was like, it wasn't like 50. It's not.
His closing seemingly wasn't as impressive as it was at Euros.
Like,
I think
very
Euros,
like,
in the 3K
accelerating.
At least.
So it's just, like, so hard to get around. But, I mean, shit, it's just, it's so impressive.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, watching, it's like, why can't anyone do anything about it? Basically, is what I think watching it. Like, yeah.
I think because he's that good. He's that good. And, yeah, shout out to Neil for coming through for second. That was awesome to see him get that. He's been consistently very good.
What they closing?
Just
13:4, 13:4, 26:8. I mean, that's nothing, like, but, and then 13:4, 13:8 before that. 27.
So it's like a 50.
27.26 point. 54 point, I think.
54.
It's fast, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he won, and he looked great doing it.
He looked great.
I mean, the thing is, he only had to run fast enough to hold them off. So
it's true.
Like, maybe he is just running fast enough.
And, well, the thing is, it's not. Well, I mean, Neil has a great kick. Hauser has a great, like, these guys do all have great kicks. So I don't think it's like, I don't think it's a question of, like, why couldn't they Well, I think you can ask that question, but I think it's just like, yeah, he's just that good. That's why they couldn't beat him.
What'd you think of his celebration?
Freaking loved it. Absolutely loved it. I was so...
Do you think he had that planned? Or did he just
the
turn
muscles?
Around?
Yeah.
Well, the actually, the muscles
and the
was hilarious.
Yeah.
When I just saw him flexing, I was like, Jakob's my he's favorite
a,
runner right
he's,
now.
He's having a good
time. Anyone else does that? And I'd be like, oh, that's such a douche move. Jakob does it?
Well, you know, I'm he's like, doing it like ironically.
Yeah. I'm like, that's hilarious when he
way.
Does it.
And then he hits Mariano with the brum, brum. That was awesome.
He's just ridiculous right now.
He's just having such a good time, and he's on top of the world, and he deserves to be. So good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. I absolutely love it. And this was after, so we skipped over the middle day, which was the 3K, which was an absolute sick race. Got to just straight off give a shout out to our boys, Kai and Dylan. Absolutely amazing.
So good.
Coming third and fifth, medal at Worlds already for Kai is absolutely amazing. Already delivering on the potential that we all knew he had, and that he's just been grinding away in training, the both of them have. And yeah, for Dylan, I think fifth at a Worlds is like such a big step forwards already. So we're always so happy to see our teammates thrive like that after they've been doing all the right things, putting in the work. So that was awesome.
And such a good ROI on their first few months on the team.
Isn't it? It's not bad.
That's just such a way to finish off like how good they've ran at Millrose, like BU indoors, like
yeah, converted into the Worlds.
Yeah. Being able to put that together after traveling all the way to China and like on the actual world stage after just joining the team, that's pretty freaking sweet.
Yeah.
Kai wanted it really bad the last 50 meters. The last like 20 meters actually.
Well, yeah, we have to do a shout out to Sam Gilman as well. He had probably the quickest last the quickest close. Maybe Jakob and Arga were faster, but he had such an amazing close. And he's someone who, if you've been paying attention, you've seen a meteoric rise, because he's also someone who, you know, coming out of college wasn't getting the same hype as, you know, his other people that we're talking about. But especially these last few races, he's just improved every single race, and it's always awesome to see.
Was that one workout with Grant?
It was that. Is the one workout. That was the start, and then from there it got converted into the races, and now he's fourth in the world, just like that.
Yeah.
So shout out to him.
Yeah, such a cool move on the back straight. Like, actually blew by Kai, and I was like, oh,
he's
shit. He was going so quick. But then Kai just hung on and had the last 20 meters to get back around. Yeah. It was such a cool race, actually.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't even say who. Well, Jakob obviously won. Aragawi second, who I don't think that is such a surprise that they were fighting for it. And it was pretty close, honestly. There's like our guy, he can, when he's on, he can close and he can put up a good fight. And I think they did it, but it was the 3K was a straight final. So it was a lot more people on the track. It was so different to the 1500s because there's so many more people on the track, and it makes for a very choppy race. And it was actually a really solid field. So there's a lot of guys up there, and our boys, do you remember seeing when like it was like, I don't know if this was actually when Kai was leading, maybe it was, they were more in like third, but him and Dylan were like side by side kind of blocking up the front. I was like, that's sick. Yeah. Let's block it up, boys. Get some team tactics in there.
That was freaking sweet.
But yeah, those races are always chaotic. So to be able to come out on top and have that success is awesome. And,
Now we're just two worlds in a row coming back with medals.
Some hardware. This is pretty awesome.
Got a good record at World Indoors.
Hell yeah. Is there a break now?
Yeah. Has anyone else been waiting to host one? I think there must be a break.
Is World Indoors always in the same year as
the Olympics?
As World Outdoors?
No, normally not. Normally so, World Indoors is, wait, so that means there will be one.
Yeah,
normally it's even
break.
Years.
And then a break.
Yeah, because this is a fill-in, actually.
Okay, yeah.
So then next year there actually is one, which is in... Where is next year's one?
No clue.
I'm pretty sure that exists.
It's out there. It's being circulated.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be three in a row, because I think they just filled this one in this year.
Yeah, that would make sense. Cool. Yeah. Well, we'll have to keep it going next year then.
Seriously.
Next year. And then... Well, I didn't watch every single race. I didn't actually watch the women's 3K, so I can't speak on what happened.
I did. I did watch the women's 3K.
How did it go? I just heard that Shelby Rito pipped Jess Hart the line.
Yeah, Shelby looked really good, actually. I think it was much slower than last year. I mean, last year they ran so fast, like Al broke the American record and all sorts of other crazy times, but it was much more tactical and then eventually just a big wind up. And I think Hailu, who won the 15 last year, I think she won the 1500 in Glasgow, won the 3K this year with a 28 second last lap or something. Just freaking flying.
Very speedy.
She get the field a bit and then Jess and Shelby were like battling it out the last lap. And Shelby got her in the last like 5 or 10 meters. Yeah. But a medal for Jess. Another medal for Jess, I guess. And last year Jess was fourth, I think. So that was nice that at least on the podium this year.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool.
Following up an Olympic medal.
Big for Shelby.
Dude, pretty meteoric rise.
Yeah. How quickly back on the world podium.
How quickly that happened. From
3 months
not running to a couple of BU time trials to medal.
Yeah. Be crazy to see how it converts into outdoors, but yeah. The trajectory right now is very, very impressive, and I'm sure.
Do we just keep asking the question of if someone's going to sponsor it?
I think someone has to at this point. Like, how can you not? I think it just has. She has an agent. Like, I think it's going to happen. I truly do believe it. I don't know.
I'm waiting patiently, or not patiently, to hear.
Waiting impatiently for the announcement.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the women's 15, that was, I did watch this one. Absolutely crazy. Gudov, Gay doing classic, going out in probably about a 60, I think it was.
I think it was like 60.0.
60.0, 203 through 800, a time that would have been decent, like maybe in the heats of the 800. And held on for a 3:54, 1 second off her own world record. And just absolutely dropped the field. And it just made a really, I don't know if chaotic is the right word, because it wasn't actually that chaotic, because everyone essentially stayed in their positions the entire race. It was a time trial style race almost, which you don't see too often at a championship.
It would have been funny if the rest of them completely decided
just like tactical, to run, yeah. Just tactical.
They were like, all right, we're going to run like 14.
Yeah.
Which they actually did end up, like, you had to break four to get a medal. But if they just so early, they're like, oh, all right, fuck, we can't go with that.
Yeah.
We're just going to run for silver, which they kind of were still doing, but they still ran fast.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Georgia Griffith, did go with Sagat, as well as, I'm going to butcher this name, is it Wataji?
Well, Teji or something, yeah.
She ended up coming second. Georgia still, I think she came, was she fourth? Four flat. But then, sorry, that's Georgia Griffith. And then Georgia Bell, UK, came through to pick up third, 3:59. So coming from the pack, though, like she went out a little bit more conservatively, but actually it probably wasn't conservatively at all. It was just conservative relative to the people at the front. She probably still went out like really, really fast, I imagine.
Yeah, great run from Georgia Griffith.
Yeah. She's been running so well since last year. She's been crushing it. So it was good to see. Broke the Australian indoor 1500 meter record.
That was? Nice.
Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. And then what do we think about the Josh Hoey continuing his undefeated year?
I do love that it's actually undefeated. 1K, 1500.
It's been
every single eight now.
This was actually maybe the closest race. Well, it actually was close.
It was very close.
Because all his other wins pretty much have been pretty emphatic.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think he went like just a little bit early. And so a few of the other guys were kind of catching him towards the end. So it looked like he was going to win, but they did get close to him in the end. And
he was finally like a favorite too. I feel like every meet until now, he's still been like a little bit overlooked still having to prove himself. Whereas this one he went into as like, all right, Loki, you're the clear favorite here.
Run 142 or whatever.
But he still got the job done and still ran another 144 in the final.
Yeah. I wonder if the track was slow or something. That's what Joe was saying, he thought, based on the 800 times.
He was saying that, huh?
I wonder. Who knows? Who knows what makes a track fast or slow? But
yeah,
I guess none of the times were seemingly that crazy.
I haven't actually seen that race.
The 800?
Yeah. So I don't know much to say about it. I just saw he won.
Yeah. Brandon Miller made a big move around him at some point and then paid for it because then he faded hard.
Is that also what happened in the women's race?
The women's race was... They went out in 55 in the women's race.
55?
They went through 455 and then it was just a matter of who could hang on. Yeah.
Oh, I saw a South African go.
It was crazy.
One.
Was it South Africa?
Was it just South Africa?
Ethiopia? It was one. I can't remember.
I honestly want to say it was South African. Yeah. Which I didn't know who that was, but that's sweet. I've never heard of a South African 800 runner. Yeah. No, that's... Why am I even saying that? That's terrible.
Shout out to us.
Yeah, shout out to like the best 800 runner of the last freaking 10 years. Yeah. I guess since then.
Yeah, I haven't seen her for a few years though, so fair enough. Yeah, the women's 800, I was just like watching. I was like, what are they doing? Like, the pacing was just crazy. In a way that you like, it makes it for such an exciting championship race because they go out 55. They're not going to run 150. They're going to have to slow down at some point. And that was after, I think, a 26th first lap, you know? So it's a painful way to run it.
That would probably hurt so much.
Yeah.
What's that like going out in for the men?
For the 1500?
Like well below world record pace. No, in the 8 even.
In the 8?
Like if the world record's 154, I've gone out 4 seconds. That's like going out in... 40, I guess like 49 or something, which they do.
Well, are we thinking, so indoors, what's it? I don't know what the indoor men's
142. And 49 is 138 pace.
Yeah.
And they're not going to run that.
Yeah, indoors going down 49, that would be pretty.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, that'd be real tough. That'd be wild. So yeah, that was... World indoors. Did I miss anything?
Other non-distance highlights? Australia had a great meet.
Yeah, I think it was
which we kind crazy. Of we were kind of hyping that up for like leading into it. We're like, oh, it's in China.
Australia's Aussies, gonna they're attention.
Gonna yeah, Australia's gonna do good.
Yeah, the kind of maybe even the coolest one was every single medal that Australia got was incredibly, incredibly, incredibly cool. But Lachie Kennedy, we got a medal in the men's 60 meters.
That was wild.
How often like And it's a story of a guy I don't really know that much, but...
Yeah,
like,
and he's not Gout Gout, who's kidding, yeah. Who's like the most famous person on the planet right now.
No, he's come on and he had the fastest time, but it was really controversial because he ran outside. This was his first ever time running on an indoor track, and he ran a really fast 60 earlier in the season, but it was wind-aided. He had wind behind him, so it was really hard. Everyone said that it was... not real, like made up and didn't give it any credit. And then he comes through and, you know, every round looked good and then comes second in the final, gets a medal in the 60 meters from Australia. A young guy, like so sick. So good to see.
Is he young? How is he?
I just assume so. I don't know him. So I just
it was freaking
so.
Sweet.
I don't know how.
Did you see he almost died in the heat?
In the heat, yeah.
He almost like, what? That looked like he'd never run on an indoor track.
Yeah.
He like hits the...
As soon as he hit the bank.
Hits the bank at the end.
Like stubs like, his toe.
Yeah, and like almost doesn't make it up the bank.
That could have been bad.
It could have been real bad. Feel for him though.
Lucky he had that Kiwi guy next to him to hold him up.
That was funny.
But yeah, awesome to see Australia thriving and...
Second on the medal table? Did we decide that? Happened? Which follows up, New Zealand was second on the medal table last year, so...
Crazy.
For two countries that don't own a single indoor track.
Very impressive. So it's not important, I guess.
Yeah, it's really not.
It's not important. I guess like Ethiopia doesn't own an indoor track either.
Yeah, true.
They do pretty well generally.
That's a good point.
It's just America.
It's just America.
European countries. But yeah.
And Kiwis, we still got 2 medals. Hamish Kerr, defending champion in the high jump, was able to come home with silver medal behind Woo,
which absolute legend.
They're good bros, and silver's still great. And now he's on, now he's like four medals on the trot. And
like in a row, back to back to back to back.
Well, three, wait.
At least three. Did he medal it out in Budapest?
Mm-mm. No. Com Games. I guess that was a couple years ago. I think he has four total. But indoors, yeah, Olympics,
Budapest
indoors.
This one was where he's really sad.
Yeah.
Not that I'm remembering. But,
yeah, so now he's, since Budapest, he's
revenge
been really,
tour.
Yeah, he's been on an absolute tear. And Tommy Walsh coming back from being very injured in Paris and not making the final to freaking world champ.
Yeah, so
indoors.
Sick.
Again, 10 years later or something. He was world champ in like, something like 2014. I don't know if that was right, but.
Yeah, I feel like he's consistently been crushing. Oh, that does. Speaking of Chinese athletes, I don't know her name, but maybe I should have shouted her out. I think it was in the shot put. There was one of the athletes competing for China medaled in Beijing Olympics in 2008.
What?
Yeah, she was competing for them. That's sick, huh?
What? Did she do good?
I don't know.
Or was it like a celebrity throw?
I don't know.
Yo, do you want to come back to the track?
I don't know. I just heard the announcer say it. I was like, that is ridiculous.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. But one thing that is cool about the trip to China is that, you know, you keep going past China and you get to Australia. And this upcoming week, we have the Moriplant meet down in Melbourne, which is Australia's premier track meet these days. It's the only gold label, I think. New Zealand, does New Zealand have a silver or anything? I don't even know. Does it have anything?
Maybe a silver. Definitely a bronze.
Who knows?
I don't know if we have, I'm not sure if we have a silver.
Regardless,
no, Moriplant is sick. The Fred Curley meet, if anyone remembers that.
The Ollie Hall meet.
And the Ollie and Fred, they both tore it up that year.
2 years ago, was it? Yeah.
I think that was 2 years ago. It was so sick. It was the Fred Curley, like, wasn't it the big gun salute?
When he was balling.
Yeah.
He was crushing it.
That was so sweet.
Yeah, we got Ollie competing in the 15. Or is it a mile? I still don't know.
I feel like it's normally a mile.
It was the last 2 years. I think the women's is a 15, but I think the men's is maybe a mile. Don't quote me on that.
And
I'm
Cam?
Not sure. Cam
is running this.
I believe Cam so.
Myers.
Peter Ball is running, I think.
Tanner, I think, is going over there. Tanner also chose Moriplant over World. Maybe it's bigger than World Indoors, actually.
Do we know if Sam Ruth is running it? Surely.
I don't
How
know.
How could he not be?
Should.
He's on the big, such a tear right now. I don't think we've covered, but Sam. No, did I mention? Last week, Sam Ruth broke four. Youngest ever to break four in the mile. 15 years old. 15 years young. 3:58 for the mile.
Yeah, and it looked so easy too.
He looks amazing. He does.
Well done. Well done.
Well, yeah, Moriplant 15 will be sick. And Kai is competing in the 5K, who I assume Jack Rayner is racing in as well. But I'm not sure.
That's
also
what I've heard. I've heard a lot of people. I've heard there's like 18 entries or 20 or something.
In the 5?
Yeah. Maybe some Africans?
Really? Flying over. I mean,
coming over for it?
A gold meet is a gold meet, you know?
Gold label outdoor 5K, first one of the year.
Probably got decent money there, so it makes sense.
Good weather normally, bad weather normally.
Melbourne, oh, I have a. This is a stadium, a track that's one of my least favorite.
Really,
I've only had negative experiences there. I've only raced there twice, Lakeside, and as the name implies, it's next to a lake, so it can often be windy there. So it's not known for quick times.
Mm.
It's built in a beautiful place. It's at right next to the F1 circuit in Melbourne, Albon Park. And it's like very pretty, but it's often a bit windy. And Melbourne's weather is notoriously up and down. So who knows what you're going to get.
You know who else is running Moriplant?
Who?
Olympic champ. Freaking Tobogo, isn't he? Isn't Lucille Tobogo running?
Oh, I remember seeing
that. That big announcement a couple months ago.
A long time ago, and I have not seen the follow-ups.
I'm just double-checking my facts.
Yeah.
Which there's lots of announcements in January, and not much since.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything since that. You would assume that maybe not today, but at least tomorrow you'll see that everywhere if it is still happening.
Should have had him run. And is Gout running? Surely.
I would assume so.
Not, I like, imagine that matchup. Dude, Tobogo and Gout right now.
That would be sick.
But it looks like Tobogo, if he is still running, is running the 4.
Uh,
which I assume Gat Gat would not be doing.
Yeah.
But sick meet lining up to be anyway.
Yeah, I think it'll be sweet. I think the women's 1500 will be one to watch as well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Sinter and Maya, who were on the beautiful poster they made, I don't think are competing at it. But still, it'll be a really good race. And yeah, we'll try. I don't know if we'll be able to tune in. I don't know. Actually, it's nighttime there is
probably not good.
Not a great time.
But maybe unless it'll be in the morning. Unless it's really late. Yeah.
unless it's
and then really it'll late. Be morning here.
Yeah, but either way, we're very excited. And yeah, wish Ollie the best of luck coming back. And he gets to do a couple of races in Australia, which is sweet. He'll be doing this one, and then he'll be prepping for Aussie Nationals, which is just a couple of weeks later. So nice little tour for him. Kai is on the same plan as well.
We'll do our best to get at least Ollie, maybe even Kai, because we believe they are staying together. Try and call them and get an update on World Indoors from them. I don't want to speak for Ollie. So that'd be sweet. Get him in his... Ollie's going to be like full Australian by the time he comes back. I feel like he goes like full Aussie mode as soon as he goes back. And now it's going to be like 2 months.
Yes, yeah, it's the time is like, I didn't even realize, but it's quite a while. So he will be. We'll see how long he can hold on to it for. Until he becomes a little bit Americanized again. But
the crazy travel is that, I don't know who else is doing, but Jess Hull is going China, Kingston for Grand Slam, Perth for Aussie Champs in like 3 weeks.
That is pretty unreal. I wonder how tough that travel is. Maybe they're close to each other and we don't know. I'm trying to...
What's close to each other? Which ones?
Do you think China is close to Jamaica?
Absolutely not. I know she's coming. You got to come back through the US and you then do? Fly all the way down to like Florida, basically.
Yeah, that's a terrible travel.
It sounds brutal. And
Jamaica
then,
to get to...
And then Jamaica to Perth. Or I don't know if she's going direct, but...
Yeah, that sucks.
I think those are 1 week apart. She's got to do a double.
Is she, those miles, though.
Wait, is Jason 3K, 5K or 8:15? 8:15.
I believe 8:15.
Okay, because apparently we're going to do a great preview next week, but apparently it's hot as shit in Jamaica, like 85 plus.
Yeah,
which 8:15, maybe not so bad.
3K, 5K. Have some fun out there.
That sounds quite hard.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Yeah, we'll try to give that a preview next week.
But shout out to her for just doing all these races.
Yeah.
And dude, awesome. Shout out to Jakob for fucking doing every race this year.
You can't fault the man, can you?
He's dude, just you cannot.
Putting himself out there and just delivering.
You see like his stats since losing the Olympics?
What is it?
Well, since losing the Olympic 1500, he won the Olympic 5K.
Did that.
Diamond League champ. European cross champ. 2 indoor world records. 2 indoor European titles. 2 indoor world titles.
Yeah, he's on track right now for the most prolific year ever for a distance runner.
It's outrageous. And
yeah.
2 YouTube videos.
No, 3.
More. I know. 3. It's actually crazy. More, like 4 even.
He's probably making his Amazon series still as well. Season 2 is probably in the works. Does he have time to be a father? How does he fit that in?
2 kids. No. 1 kid.
It is cool that he was in Sierra Nevada, but he mostly has just been at home. Isn't that sick?
Yeah.
It's like winter in Norway.
It's got to be miserable out there. Like, it's got to be so dark.
Can't be that ideal for training.
So cold. He's got that nice little treadmill room.
He's got the treadmill room. And I mean, actually, from all the videos I've seen, the track has seemed pretty good because he's also been posting like daily on Instagram, like between Euros to the end of Worlds. I think he was daily posting pretty much.
What a guy.
He's ticking all the boxes. His team is crushing it right now.
Yeah, I was.
Him and his team.
I do have to give a shout out to whoever on his team made that hype video for World Indoors. That's one of my favorite, like, high running videos I've ever seen.
Yeah, just to be able to do that.
with the
so cool.
Oh, it was so sick. And I mean, yeah,
so,
you gotta
like, authentic as well. Like he actually fucking owns those cars. You know? It's not like he rented. Like that's his pat. That's what he does.
That's I think that is what made it. You're like, I know this dude owns this car. This is like, it's actually just him driving.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Yeah, he's my favorite runner right now.
Yep.
Just briefly.
I wonder how long of a break he'll take now. Because I'm sure he's like, I have to go back and train for a period of time.
Yeah. He did tell, I don't know, he said something about opening up outdoors and he used months, plural.
Months, yeah. So I'm not surprised. He has to.
Don't blame him.
Yeah, coming off what he's done with how late Wilds is this year, it makes sense. So, yep, that's all that type of news. We just have like, I don't know what else, some random things. Did you see the LA Marathon? Did you see?
Yes, because Joe Klicker was spamming me with Matthew Rickman content, which was ridiculous.
I'm in love with this guy.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely in love with him.
207 is so fast.
At LA. Not.
Apparently it's hilly.
Not. It's, yeah, it's not fast.
No one goes to LA to run fast.
Fast ones.
Why was he even doing it? Like,
I think he is, well, I did listen to his Citrus Mag interview and
nice.
He was asked that question and he said it just made sense time-wise since he debuted at Grandma's and also I think something with he's sponsored by ASICS and I think maybe there's some
title sponsor of the marathon.
I think it's something like that. I believe. So
crazy because he just came off the double half marathon.
Yeah. Okay. That's the thing. Like people are looking at his training and his training. Yeah. If you look at it, so much of it doesn't make sense. But I think you really have to understand how crazy of a stimulus like those two half marathons are. How he got into the shape to be able to run so well those two half marathons. That's another question.
Yeah.
But the fact that he did those two half marathons and didn't really do much other training in between is not actually that crazy to me.
No, that's true.
Like, I mean, if like we don't train like that, like we probably wouldn't take that long in between races, but I understand it. Like it's such a big stimulus. Your body does have to recover. Clearly he was just so strong to be able to even just do like, I mean, everyone that's running on the road circuit right now has been crazy how many half marathons people have been doing. And yeah, to be able to do a half and then 2 weeks later run such an amazing marathon is so impressive. But yeah, for anyone who doesn't know about him, I would recommend just going and listening to his Citrus Mag interview because he definitely does not fit the typical profile for a distance runner. He coaches himself. He goes most of vibes. And yet he's really, like the way he speaks with a lot of perspective and like, he seems smart and very calm, very peaceful, very at peace with what he does, which I think, as we all know, is really important and sometimes hard to achieve. And just like a lot of logic, like things, a lot of things are like common sense and logical, even though, you know, most of the time you'd be looking at like what other people are doing. He's just really like in his own lane, I guess. And
it's kind of good to see.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think
does he run full time?
Like, I think he does now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he only graduated a year ago.
Yeah. Big Sky Conference.
Yeah.
Montana State.
Yeah.
They got some good runners come out of there.
Yeah.
He must have been been in like Duncan Hamilton's like graduating class. Also a very good runner.
Yeah, I don't know, but he only really did well in his most impressive performances in college were in cross country. I think he came maybe 26th.
That's pretty good. What's his like 5K PR?
13:40s.
Solid.
28:30 10K.
207's a little better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean his 10K time is I think about what he goes through like the half marathon and through 10K in.
What the heck?
And then 207 is another step that's just hard to comprehend. Beyond all that. So crazy.
Good for him.
Yeah. I like to see stories like that.
It is nice.
So yeah.
What else has been happening in the running world?
We have a bit of stuff because there was like the 2 week break. The only other really big race for us was that we got to watch was the New York Half where Conor Mance ran another crazy time. 59-15 or whatever, not on a non-record eligible course, but also not like what you'd also think is the fastest course in the world. So it was a sweet race. Unfortunately, member of the coffee club, track club, Woody, didn't have the best debut there. He ran 63 minutes, but it seems like him running 63 minutes was actually really impressive considering that he stopped and walked.
I also heard that.
At least once, maybe multiple times. So when you take that into account,
63 was some walking. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty good, actually.
That's pretty good.
So I listened to his interview and he was like, this is the thing. This is the track runner going to try and run the road stuff that I think is can be a bit of a barrier, because I felt some challenges with it as well. As he said that he because he got a cramp, but it wasn't like he got a cramp at like mile 11. I think he was cramping at mile 4, like pretty early.
What kind of cramp? Stomach cramp,
I think. And I think he said that because he woke up and ate breakfast at what would be, I think he said 12:15 flag time.
A.M.
Like, yeah.
Literally just midnight.
Yeah. He said that's the time he woke up and had breakfast, like flag time. So he said he thinks that that just did not work with his body doing that, which is understandable.
Like, that's, it is ridiculous going to the East Coast and running like a 6 a.m. race.
Yeah.
If you're on Pacific, if you're on Arizona, which is, what is that Pacific time? Probably 3 hours.
Yeah.
That's already 3 a.m. start.
Yeah. Try wake up at 3 a.m. and see how you feel.
Yeah. And then go back a few hours to eat. Yeah. Like, that just gets out of hand.
Yeah. So it is.
I don't blame him.
It's a challenge that I guess you have to figure out how to solve.
Definitely.
You're going to do it. But yeah, honestly, I think that's kind of it. I think there's not that much of the new stuff.
Coming to the end.
Yeah. So I didn't even realize, George informed me this before the pod, that Grand Slam is next week. That's why Yared's been training so hard.
Yeah. Dude, Yared's been, well, spoiler, Yared's super fit.
I thought he had, I knew he was training hard, but I thought he had, I don't know, another like 3 weeks or something. I thought it was at the end of the month. Like, I didn't actually think about it.
But no, he's literally leaving on Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay. That's crazy. It's all happening.
First class flights to Jamaica. First class thing's real. Good, they book, they do give you like, or they tell you which ones you can book. But you get to fly first class everywhere.
Damn, we got to do one of those meets, bro. We got to do it.
Really do.
Well, look forward to that preview from us next week. And yeah, hopefully we can get Ollie and maybe Kion as well and some other fun stuff. But that's been it for us for episode 179 of the Coffee Cup Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. See ya.